You're listening to Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. To listen to the full show in its entirety, find the full Dana show with the most recent date. Thanks for listening.
I really honestly almost can't even make fun of this because I don't understand this argument.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
One of the reporters, so I told you guys about the ongoing situation with our school district, how the board stands accused, which they did, of violating the Open Meetings Texas Act. And they hired a law firm to defend them that we all taxpayers have to pay for, this law firm to defend them. And then, in addition to that, they engaged a communications firm, a PR firm, Sunwest Communications. They engaged this firm. They paid them $8,500. And they refused so far. And then there was a temporary restraining order and a lawsuit filed by one parent because they've been trying to implement critical race theory. And they wanted to establish this commission of that would judge students' microaggressions and tally their microaggressions and make it part of the student's permanent record. You would have to go through like this equity training and graduate, all kinds of stuff. A six-figure diversity coach they demanded to be hired. And all of this, of course, is going to be paid for by taxpayers. And when parents started objecting to it, they were called racist and bigots, and they were smeared, and they've been bullied and harassed. And it's just nonstop, like the hate from these people. I mean, they're teaching. It's like incorporating a pro-bullying message inside something that is ironically supposed to, they mark it as opposite. And so one of the NBC reporters who first wrote the story would not mention me on Twitter and was writing about me and the my observations from the school board meeting. Mike Hixenbaugh, which we should try to get on the show. Who we should try to get on the show. Okay. Because he was the one who wrote the story, and then NBC sent cameras to our little school board meeting, and he would not even address me. He wanted to talk smack, but he didn't even want to address me. I'm like, how are you a reporter? You're not a reporter. You're an activist who couldn't make money being an activist. So you decided to go into journalisming. Other schools around the country are dealing with this as well. And in New York City, the Dalton School, it's apparently a fancy, 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 fancy school. They're facing criticism from parents and alumni who are objecting over some of the CRT, critical race theory curriculum, that included a pessimistic, this is their quote, pessimistic and age inappropriate litany of grievances in every class. And they said that it's about progressive politics. And there are even people who are on the left that are like, this should not be part of our curriculum. This is not how it should not be approached this way. They said even people who are sympathetic to, progressive politics, to that political viewpoint, the role of a school is to not indoctrinate politically. It's to open the minds of kids to the wonders of world and learning. So the letter is accusing this critical race theory teaching and of dismissing dissent as racist. They say the discourse has become so fraught that the numerous community members who contributed to this letter feel compelled to remain anonymous. And that's true. That's happening everywhere. In my town, there are a lot of people who are too afraid to speak up because of the nonstop harassment they receive from these so-called, these activists that act like they want peace, but really it's power that they want. And so it was a scathing letter that they sent, and it was anonymous because they had to be. And they said every class this year has had an obsessive focus on race and identity, racist cop reenactments in science, decentering whiteness in art class, learning about white supremacy and sexuality in health class. Wildly inappropriate, many of these classes feel more akin to a Zoom corporate sensitivity training than to Dalton's intellectually engaging curriculum. The letter calls for an impartial ombudsman outside of the diversity, equity, and inclusion industry to advocate for the school's educational mission and solicit feedback from alumni and parents about changes to the curriculum. So this is in New York. I mean, people are getting so fed up that this is even happening in New York City, where parents are saying, okay, this is enough. Stop. I mean, it's good for them for doing that. And it's not just them. There's so much of this. There is, let me put this on. I have more examples. And New York and California, crazy. San Francisco Unified School District Board of Education. They're the ones who were changing the name of the Abraham Lincoln High School because they said Lincoln did not demonstrate that Black Lives Matter to him. They ended up getting in trouble because apparently, like, the guy, the board member or whatever that was pushing this and was saying all this stuff, he only consulted Wikipedia and he refused to even, like, work with any kind of actual historical experts. They're going all in on this Ibram Kendi. We talked about this guy before. And parents are raising concerns. They're raising concerns. This is, crying out loud, it's in California. And then in San Diego, pull this one up. This is Washington Examiner. This is, and parents are objecting because San Diego School District, they trained white teachers that they, quote, spirit murder Black children and need, quote, anti-racist therapy. That is an actual, apparently, thing that they made teachers do. The San Diego Unified School District. Parents are up in arms. City Journal reporter Christopher Rufo said that he reported that San Diego Unified School District tells white teachers that they're guilty of spirit murder. The district hired critical race theory advocate Bettina Love to train teachers on challenging, quote, the oppressive practices that live within school organizations. She begins the training by saying racism runs deep in America and that that public schools do not see Black Americans as human and they, quote, spirit murder babies, end quote.
What?
Wow.
Spirit murder.
Uh-huh.
So that's worse than actual murder? Of babies?
I mean, whew. I don't know how that helps students. And so parents they're asking what in the world is happening here? What's happening? But and then San Francisco's dealing with something else. They remember that I told you about the story about how apparently acronyms are a tool of the white supremacy. The story comes by way of ABC 7 News. San Francisco School Board, they renamed, because we were talking about the story, how they renamed it. Well, now apparently their arts department, they decided that wasn't enough. They want to change their name from VAPA, which is short for Visual and Performing Arts, because they say that, and I'm not making this up, this is a direct quote, I'm reading it, acronyms are a symptom of white supremacy culture. What? How? So they decided to simply be called SFUSD Arts Department, but acronym.
But what about, like, NAACP or those types of acronyms, are those also?
I almost can't even make fun of this because I don't understand this argument.
I don't understand it either.
But
that's with 95 to 100% of what progressives say.
Acronyms.
I don't understand.
So are they actually involved in educating kids? I'm curious. I'm just really fascinated because it seems like they're doing everything but. They said that they are prioritizing anti-racist arts instruction in our work. And so they made the changes in accordance with an anti-racist arts instruction. They said that because acronyms are a symptom of white supremacy culture, they want to be referred to as the SFUSD or the San Francisco United School District Arts Department. Wait, SFUSD. Is an acronym for the San Francisco. Oh my gosh. Now, the memo that they sent out cited this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. A 1999 paper by Tima Ogun. And the paper does not specifically say that acronyms are racist, but it says, quote, worship of the written word is an aspect of white supremacy. They say other purported characteristics of white supremacy are perfectionism, a sense of urgency, individualism, and objectivity. What? Apparently memos are also, I'm not making this up, memos are a characteristic of white supremacy. Memos. It's at a website called dismantlingracism.org. Not making this up. Yep. There's a whole list of, yeah. Wow. Sense of urgency, defensiveness. If you're defensive, that means you're a white supremacist. if you worship the written word, you're a white supremacist. Memos, you know, a symptom of white supremacy. If you believe that there's only one right way, you're a white supremacist. Paternalism, either or thinking, is a symptom of white supremacy.
What?
Yes.
Either or?
Yes. Individualism is a symptom of white supremacy.
No.
The idea that I'm the only one connected to individualism is a symptom of white supremacy. I'm just going literally down this list. It's at dismantlingracism.org. And this is what they're incorporating in San Francisco Visual Arts Department. And you can't say Visual Arts Department, Visual and Performing Arts Department. You can't say VAPA anymore because that is, acronyms are racist.
Well, you remember in St. Louis we had COCA, and in, I think actually in Seattle they have a
what isn't racist?
The Center of Creative Arts.
Anymore.
Like, that's an acronym. I just haven't been adequately explained to in regards to why acronyms are racist. I just don't understand it.
I think I could probably better explain to you what blue sounds like. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and our freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
I have to share this story about a British teenager who fell into a 10-month coma before the pandemic, and now he's waking up. It's a whole new world for Joseph Flavel. He's 19 years old. He was struck by a car in Staffordshire, Central England. And they had that was in like March when they had just recorded 23 cases. And so now he's like, he's begun to emerge from this 10-month coma. How do you explain this year? Wow, that's gonna be something else.
But what a blessing to not know of the COVID problem,
right? Like, he got to miss all of the ridiculous. So, but we're glad that he's waking up. Anyway, if you don't say that, someone's gonna accuse you of not wanting him to wake up. So, yeah, doesn't matter. Rick Wilson warns that the folks who are accusing Lincoln Project of supporting kid touching, or, I mean, sorry, knowing about John Weaver, are putting themselves in jeopardy. Are they all kid touchers too? I don't know. He said that he had never had these proclivities. He couldn't have known about his predatory behavior because he's not on quote unquote gay Twitter. So, and all gays on Twitter are predators? Is that what I'm understanding from him? Really? Okay. That's what he said. He said that none of the Lincoln Project leaders live in the D.C. area. Okay. Yeah. Well. made of comments. Netflix is finalizing GameStop stock movie package. This is like the hardest headline to ever say. Especially if you've been saying stonks for like days on end. So they're making a movie about it. It's the Game Stonks. I swear, if you don't call it that, I'm gonna boycott it, and I don't boycott anything. But they're apparently gonna make this untitled film. Mark Boal is this guy who's attached to it. Oh no, he's the guy behind Zero Dark Thirty. Okay, yeah. Noah Centineo will be attached to a major role. So apparently, that's how it's gonna. Very interesting. Who's gonna play the guy? Is he gonna play the dad who started it all? Who wears the red headband like Royal Tenenbaums, like Richie from Royal Tenenbaums? Who was a great character played by Luke Wilson in one of the funniest movies ever made. I have this in my headlines. It's no! Say that like Darth Vader when he's like, you know, falling. No! Is there a wing shortage ahead of the Super Bowl?
Oh, no.
Don't y'all be messing with this.
No.
Is there a wing? Because this is what's being reported. WFLA TV, they say if you want to chow down on chicken wings, while watching the Super Bowl. You better do it earlier than later. McDivitt's Wings and Raw Bar. Do you know that? They're around in Tampa, Rachel? No? Okay. He was like, you better get your orders in. They not have an available supply of wings. They are anticipating a record demand of wings. Get your wings orders in now. I'm actually literally going to text my husband this because I was going to eat wings. You eat wings with football. I got to have my wings. Otherwise, don't sit. They're not boneless wings. Those are chicken tendies. Stop it. They're just large nuggets. Let's be real. All right. We got a lot more because the Perth shopper was bitten in the neck and they had toilet paper ripped out of their hands because panic buying is gripping Western Australia. Bit in the neck. Stay with us. So Dr. Rachel Levine, and I don't mind calling him by his name, Rachel, if that's what he wants to do. He is the new HHS. He's the assistant secretary for health at the Department of HHS. So he's not like running HHS, but he's the assistant secretary for health. I have no problem calling him Rachel. I am not going to have the patriarchy dictate my speech to me because as a free American woman, not only do I have the right to vote and the right to own property and the right to, I don't know, just have my own sovereignty and agency recognized. I also have the right to not have men tell me how to speak and how not to speak, progressive men. So a Christian organization was suspended from Twitter last week because they refused to adopt the patriarchal rule of identifying Dr. Levine as the pronoun of his choice. The Daily Citizen, as part of Focus on the Family, it was said that they engaged in quote unquote hateful rhetoric, according to Twitter. They tweeted January 19th, and I quote, on Tuesday, President-elect Joe Biden announced that he had chosen Dr. Rachel Levine to serve as Assistant Secretary for Health at the Department of HHS. Dr. Levine is a transgender woman that is a man who believes he is a woman. And that was called hate. That's the only tweet. It was called hate, and they were suspended. Meanwhile, I had someone tell me that I should go and pale myself through the lady business side first on a stake because I don't believe in critical race theory, and I was told by Twitter that that doesn't violate their hate speech. What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I give Twitter two fingers up for their refusal to apply any kind of consistency with their TOS. There's a hatred of women. Progressive men hate women. I'm not saying this to be hyperbolic, and I'm not exaggerating. I truly do believe this. It was progressive men who shared my address. It's progressive men who always called for me to be raped or something else. I mean, with this critical race theory, there are men who live in my town who were sexually slurring me. Men who live in my town who in an argument, if you can accept this irony, about introducing Marxist curriculum in our schools, sexually slurred me. They sound like pedophiles. Stop it. These men who can't engage in a difference of opinion with women in any other fashion. And quite frankly, when I see women attacked for refusing to adopt the language of the progressive patriarchy, what else are you to expect? What else are you to believe? No one who truly cares for women is going to treat them in so hateful a fashion. But there was nothing at all wrong with that tweet. That is exactly what transgenderism is. I don't have a problem with whatever people want to do privately. Look, this might not be great. I'm a cynic, but I don't like anyone enough to babysit them as to what they do with their day-to-day life. I only care about it when it affects me. I'm not going to lie. And you're the same way. All these other people who are out there, like this with the Sally Struthers, love everyone, kittens and sunshine. Shut up. No. I like Sally Struthers, by the way. But you're into it if it affects you. That's how you get involved. That's how everyone gets involved. Let's not like lie and act like we're more virtuous than we are. I don't want to micromanage someone else's lives. I don't like anyone enough besides members of my own immediate family to do that. I'm sorry. I mean, I like you guys, Kane and Rachel and Steve. I do. I like you guys. I'm not going to micromanage your lives because I don't have to. I don't got time for that. Y'all are grown people. You're grown folk. You would handle it.
I haven't thanked you for that lately.
So. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Steve, I haven't micromanaged you. Have I? I haven't done any of that. I haven't patrolled you off to anybody. See? I'm not micromanaging nobody's life. I'm just, I don't like women being forced to, like as, it's like a hostage situation. This cancel culture. There was nothing wrong with that tweet.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so got a couple situations here. First up, this is irony. LA Times reports, Latin Times actually reports, man beats another man in Florida for not social distancing. Did he beat him social distancely?
With a 10-foot pole?
A man was arrested in Collier County on Friday after beating up another man for not following social distancing measures. Police say the attack was unprovoked. According to police, 52-year-old Rayford Smith of D.C. was lounging at the pool at the Willow at Naples Community. When the victim approached him, talked to him, Smith asked the man to stay 6 feet away, but the victim came up again a few minutes later. The Raymond told him to get away and that he was too close, and he was infuriated when the man went over to talk to him. So then he began like forgetting about social distancing altogether and started beating him up. That female worker at the community said she heard the guy fall to the ground. That must have been a loud fall.
Yeah.
So they looked at the video footage, the closed circuit television, and they saw that the assault was unprovoked. Yeah, that's not the best way to enforce social distancing. And a Florida dad builds a roller coaster in his backyard for his kids during the pandemic. And Kane thinks, yeah, I'm sure nothing can go wrong. I think that sounds amazing.
Sounds fun.
I want a roller coaster in my backyard also.
Till somebody get their toes.
I also want
off.
A pet possum. We can ride the roller coaster together. It'll be a little one.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.